I have a more intimate relationship with pharmaceuticals myself, having taken prescription drugs that were prescribed to me since third grade.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Welcome and thank you for joining me on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. First of all, I want to thank all of my supporters, everybody who's downloaded, who's subscribed, who's listened, and who follows us on social media. Thank you guys so very much for your support. It means everything to me, truly. And a special thank you to those of you who've taken the time out of your day to give us a 5-star rating. I cannot tell you how much it means to me that you would go out of your way to give us a 5-star rating and let everybody know that you enjoy and appreciate what we're doing here on Far Betterment. So thank you for that. If you haven't done so already, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can find us on your favorite podcasting platform by searching for Far Betterment. In this episode, I'm joined by Max Fritzhand and John Lang, creators and founders of SquishSupport.com, the platform for peer-to-peer mental illness support. SquishSupport.com focuses on cognitive behavioral therapy and with a strong emphasis on peer-to-peer support and for those seeking support and those offering support. I know I said it's support lots of times there, but I really believe that that's the biggest takeaway from this is to offer your experiences and coping mechanisms to those that are seeking relief from the struggles of dealing with mental illness on a daily basis. I really enjoyed speaking with Max and John. They're two very, very smart people. And not only are they intelligent and thoughtful, but they've also dealt with and struggled with mental illness themselves. And so I can really feel the passion and the conviction that they have for this platform. Squish Support will be launching beta in January, mid to late January. So be sure to go to their website, squishsupport.com, and sign up as either a seeker of mental illness therapy or as a supporter if you would like to help somebody else in need. And help them through your own experiences with mental illness. So without further ado, here is Max Fritzhand and John Lang for Far Betterment.
Sorry, we're all here. Perfect.
Perfect, yeah. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. So we're speaking with Andrew Reward, correct?
Yes. Andrew from Far Betterment.
All right, perfect, yeah. All right, perfect. Well, yeah, we're doing good. How's everything on your end?
Sounds good over here, yeah.
John, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here as well. I'm sorry, I missed your name. Is it Andrew?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I don't think we've. I'm not sure if you and I have spoken. I've spoken to Max a few times.
Correct. We formally have not met yet.
Okay.
Max runs a lot more of integrating and finding out what's going on. I'm the CEO and founder as well. But no, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm really looking forward to, you know, really expanding the conversation with what we have with Far Betterment.
Yes, I'm very excited, and it's great to meet you as well. I've got tons of questions for you guys, so I hope you guys can bear with me for a little bit. When I first saw your platform, I was really excited. You know, somebody going through mental illness myself, I've dealt with it, you know, since I was 12. And then just kind of speaking with you guys a little bit about it, it sounds like you guys both also have a pretty good understanding of what that's like and kind of have created this platform that's peer-to-peer, which I think is amazing. But I'll let you guys explain that better. You'll probably word it much better than myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I can just start with the beginning of it, you know. So, where you kind of come from a background of mental illness, Max and I both shared our experience with it as well. So, I was walking around Iowa with my significant other, and I really started to generate the idea that I really felt like there wasn't a complete solution in place. Mm-hmm. So, you have really two main primary solutions to really overcoming mental health, and one is therapy. Therapy has great success rates. You have heard stories. You have to find a good therapist. But the problem with therapy as a whole is it's a very expensive and costly industry in itself. Very affordable to a particular class in a way where you're paying hundreds of dollars an hour to really find out these solutions. And it's not really something that the average Joe can really afford or really find time to take away from their job to do, even though it's a necessity to be found. Now, on the flip side of that, there's a more affordable option. It's pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals, you could take, it's a, like I said, an affordable option. However, you start to begin to mix with a little bit more of your chemical makeup and hormonal imbalance, feeling different, groggy. Though you may be more of a facade through the happiness, it's not a genuine fix and a permanent fix to your problems. So we thought, well, one of the greatest options of coming out to solving mental illness is actually formulated in communication together. So that's when I met with Matt on this app called Shaper for connecting business individuals together. And we started shooting ideas back and forth of, you know what, we need to formulate a culture which breaks down the stigma of mental health, but also opens up that conversation. So these are people where we say, you know, why don't we make a comforting atmosphere where we tear down that stigma, we tear down the hierarchy of therapists and patients, and just make it a conversation between two people. And we found the seeker and supporter side, where a seeker is going to be looking for advice and looking for help and guidance through any dilemma or situation that they're experiencing now through the eyes of a supporter who's been in their shoes, who really wants to, you know, step up and say, hey, this is where I've been, and this is how I got through it. And you're not alone in a way. So they are able to guide through their experience to these seekers of really starting to open up that conversation, break down the stigma, and begin their solution path forward by doing it all together in a way without the need of high-end cost of therapy, with the similar solution rates and success, and not having to mix with your chemical imbalance of taking pharmaceuticals. And that was the formulation and the birth of Squish.
Now, had you had, you know, an experience with pharmaceuticals or with therapy yourself, things that you kind of like found undesirable, or maybe you were, you found that there were things that could be fixed? Was that your experience, or you just kind of?
So I never personally, and I can tell my side and pass it to Max, but I personally never had my own experience with pharmaceuticals itself. But I did come from, my dad is a primary physician, and he speaks to the volumes of, it's not the success rates you're looking for. You get people who start to have that fake happiness, have a face throughout the day, and it doesn't get you that solution rate. Also, you can see with market research, the same is to be held true. Now, on the flip side of going to therapy, I've had counselors in the past, but the thing was, it was finding the right mix of my personality type and what I was looking for in a communicator, but I was still paying way out of the pocket. So I had more of an intimate relationship with the therapy side rather than the pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
And going on top of that, John, it's the complete opposite of me. I have a more intimate relationship with pharmaceuticals myself, having taken prescription drugs that were prescribed to me since third grade. And with that being said, you know, these pharmaceuticals that I was taking, like, they would make me feel very depressed. And the side effect was that, I would be going to therapy from that. And that just, like, was a horrible dependency, just doing those things. And I was wanting to get off that. And I found that when I just, like, talk with someone about my problems, and, you know, people that have experienced where I have been, you know, I found there's a greater meaning with that. So, yeah.
Max and I always like to talk about how we're kind of like he's on the flip side with more of an experience in pharmaceuticals, but we kind of come from different backgrounds where I worked in analytics for a while. He's a designer and architecture. So we had that perfect mix where we get to tell our own stories in a way where we have that experience in both hands of, you know, the current solutions or wherever we came from, to be like the great partnership that really brought Squish up and forward.
It's a really exciting platform to me. You know, and I've actually had these conversations with my wife. She's kind of been the bear of, you know, or the on the receiving end of the brunt of my mental illness, and you know, kind of has seen it from a side where she doesn't really deal with that stuff. She doesn't deal with mental illness. She doesn't have that. So I've always been personally, you know, kind of looking for that place. And it sounds like Squish is trying to be that for many, many people. Have you guys seen the success rate you're looking for? What kind of feedback have you guys gotten?
we have gotten great feedback. People keep asking us, you know, this is such an amazing product. You know, I can't wait to use this. And, you know, they're like, I have heard zero to negative, like everything is positive. Like everyone is supporting us on, you know, our social media. Like I'm having a difficult time thinking of negative criticism. It's, mm-hmm. it's wild.
We had great feedback going from a variety of conferences because it's something new, yeah. you know, and it's kind of hard to say, this really hasn't been done before. So we're yeah. trying to, of course you have the forums you might get on Reddit or whatnot, but this is actually a platform where we're connecting two people together who have experiencing or are experienced a situation, putting into mental health and trying to connect them together. So it's something that's kind of new. So it's hard to really, you know, taste something that you haven't experienced before, mm-hmm. but the feedback we have has been phenomenal. That the biggest problems of mental health is the stigma, yeah. opening up that conversation and really trying to allow individuals to feel comfortable in the skin that they're in right now with the mental illness and being able to open that door and be like, this is what I'm experiencing now. And just know that you're okay. So it's been a great progress so far. And we're really excited to see the feedback that we get back when we start beta testing and going through our launch in early January.
What stage are you guys at right now as far as the platform?
So right now we are finishing up our app. We've got a great team of 15 individuals who have together, very valued at what mental illness is as a whole, putting in hard work, whether it's creating content, creating a culture. We're all over the nation right now. We have several individuals in Maryland, Florida, California, Cincinnati, Louisville. And so we're all working remotely, which is kind of tough in the sense that we're not all together, mm-hmm. but we have individuals that bring us all together within a Slack platform for example, but we're really pushing content. We're pushing awareness. We're pushing the launch. We have so much going on right now and managing the leadership aspect and really trying to get our name out there as well as the technology that we're going to be providing.
And as of today, you know, you can actually go on squishsupport.com and pre-register to use our platform. You can sign up to be a seeker, to seek advice, a support, to provide advice, as well as to be an ambassador. So those three roles you can sign up today on squishsupport.com, and that's what we have right now as of today, and it's on our website.
Now, what, this might be kind of a tricky question, and maybe you guys haven't run across this yet, being that you're not launching your beta until January, what kind of regulating have you guys seen that's necessary, or how would you guys regulate the peers, the seekers, the advisors and things like that?
Yeah. So, that is a great question because you do come into the healthcare compliance aspect, mm-hmm. which is a regulated field in itself. So it's kind of a funny two-part side. You know, one is you can't practice cognitive behavioral therapy unless you're a licensed therapist. But mm-hmm. on the flip side, you really don't know how to perform that aspect until you are going through the educations of being a therapist. So we have the signs out there saying, hey, you know, this is advice from an individual who's gone through a situation that you have. Take it at that value, you know, this for the supporter side, that is. Take it as this is what they're sharing with you. They're giving you your experience and advice and being able to show you a way through the door. Now, on the seeker side, this is going to be something where or when they're connecting to supporters, the supporters have to be verified. We're going through background checks, identifying if they're legitimate people, really saying that we are only going to corral individuals that are willing to share their experiences, people that are real, people that are legitimate, people that want to share and find the value within it. Of course, that comes with the background check, but we want to be able to verify that this is a culture and start with the right steps of quality over the quantity of people that we're really bringing to the app to be those supporters.
And at the end of the day, it's a safe community. And, you know, mental illness is not a joke, right? This mm-hmm. is a community that we're building to foster communication, growth, and just have a safe place. And that's what Squish is all about. You know, a place where you can have an open dialogue conversation and you can be yourself. You know, you're talking with someone all about experience, someone who's has actually been in your shoes. And that's like a conversation, you know, that people are aching for, to know that they are being understood at the end of the day. Because, you know, it's very hard to be understood. You know, that's why people go to therapy, they feel that they can be understood. And, you know, yeah, you're getting an unbiased thing, but believe it or not, you know, some of these therapists actually not have gone through that realm of therapy. Like they're polyamorous marriages, and people go to counseling for that, and they're monogamous therapists, and they provide advice. Now, think about that, right? A monogamous therapist is providing advice to a polyamorous couple, right? That's mm-hmm. that's just a little bit iffy. Like, you should seek advice to a polyamorous individual, right, who has gone through these challenges. So that's what we're coming in to provide. We're that key into that that safe place where you can have access to that.
Now, what were your, I know you said, Max, that you had been on the pharmaceutical side and you'd been taking medication Correct. Since you were in third grade. And John, you were on the therapy side, limited, correct? Sorry if I'm wrong about that, but you said you had limited experience with therapy and had never been on the pharmaceutical side, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what about those experiences for you guys was, I want to be delicate about this because I do believe therapy yeah. and pharmaceuticals can help, you know, multiple people. I mean, I'm currently in therapy myself. I've been on the pharmaceutical side also. That for me was not the correct path. And it sounds like, Max, you kind of found the same conclusion. But specifically, what about your guys' experiences? Did, you know, you guys felt like, I need something else. This isn't working. I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And so, and that's a great point to add, is that we're not here to be like, we're the absolute best. Mm-hmm. We're number one. This is the end all decision. Forget about therapy. Forget yeah. about pharmaceuticals, because like you said, everything works for someone else differently.
Yeah.
Though pharmaceuticals didn't work for Max, maybe another alternative did. You know, we're there to offer that extended arm of a way to come to a solution for those that are looking for help and solutions to their mental illness. So the biggest thing that I was experiencing was that I was in closed doors where I just really needed to talk to someone and identify what was going on, but I couldn't get over that hurdle to really open up. And so that's where I realized that my biggest situation and my biggest hindrance of overcoming a solution to the mental illness was I just needed a conversation with an individual that could understand me as a peer rather than a doctor that I took as a condescending tone, though it may not have been that way, or wanted to go into the pharmaceutical space. This was what I thought, this would have helped me out when I was in the shoes that I was. And I was grateful and able to come out above all. But it's really to extend an additional arm and an additional way to get a solution to your mental illness.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny you asked this question, Andrew. So, like, the epiphany of Squish was actually brought up through, like, the idea of communicating with John. Like John and I are entrepreneurs at heart. We've always been starting up companies. And we have this thing where it's, like, it's called entrepreneur's depression. Like, you're, like, fighting up the hill. And like we both like felt that on like a spiritual level, and like that's like part of the like the upbringing with Squish. Like, there's like being able just to relate to him. I have never felt that in a while. It's like a yin and yang kind of feeling. It felt like a sense of belonging.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's. I think that's probably the best kind of therapy, honestly, is being able to be understood. And I know you guys have touched on that quite a bit, and it sounds like you both understand each other very, very well. So this might be kind of a silly question then, but have you guys had a chance to use your platform, which I imagine you have, but as a seeker yourselves? Or are you guys kind of in the support role or just in like an observer?
Yeah, myself would be taking on more of a supporting role.
Okay.
And that's how we want to initialize going on, because really the seekers are for people that are seeking to overcome their mental illness as a whole. I was Sure. fortunate enough to be able to find my way throughout the gate, but I want to extend out that arm, because being in the space that I was in, having that intimate relationship with it, I would only hope to help someone get over that hurdle.
I could definitely see myself being both a seeker as well as a supporter, definitely lending that arm, just like what John said, you just described that perfectly, helping, like bringing someone back up who's been through my struggles, and definitely being a seeker. Like, there are things I'm struggling with, you know, at the moment, and just being able just to have an ear with a person who's actually been through those who's been through those steps would be just amazing to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
To be understood.
How have you guys and I'm not really sure how this works yet, you know, I don't have enough information, but how have you guys found your seekers and supporters and testers and things like that so far?
Sorry, I kind of briefly missed that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did we find these individuals?
Yeah. I mean, because you guys are testing currently, correct? Not beta
correct.
Testing, but...
Okay. So, correct. So when we're trying to find these individuals, what we'll really start with is just how app development works as a whole, is starting this small and building outwards to cultivate for the audience that you're looking for. So we're really starting to start with schools. This is a time when you're in high school, you got mom and dad telling you what to do, or maybe you're just starting a new job for yourself and high school wasn't the best option, and you're really starting to become an adult. You have to manage your own life. No one's going to drive you around in different sports practice. You might be thousands of miles away from your family. For example, if you grew up in New York and now you're in California and a foreign land that you've never been before. And it's really a time to get over these hurdles and start to struggle and understand life of itself and become that adult. And you start to feel isolated and alone. So we're starting with college students as the seekers. We're going to be the initial supporters there to start to roll out. And then as we collect more and more supporters that we think would be great beneficiaries on our platform, that's when we'll start to build out more. And so we're going to start with the schools and then expand outwards.
Now, actually, that brings up an interesting question for me. So, Max, you said you have been dealing with this since third grade. Do you guys plan on doing anything with under 18? I know that's very, very tricky and really hard to like manage. And yeah.
That is definitely something layer down the road. But mm-hmm. right now, our focus area is, you know, just fostering this growth within the college community. You know, because there's definitely a need for it. There, a lot of, believe it or not, 41% of college students have recorded having depression, and you know that's a staggering statistic. So we definitely feel that there is a need for it with college students, among other things. So that is, you know, for right now, we're focusing on that. We have been reached out by numerous organizations, high schoolers, you know, wanting to get squished in their curriculum. But, you know, we know at the moment, you know, we're putting out a pause because we just want, you know, we want to cultivate that college identity.
Yeah, and we have been extended an arm by individuals within high schools wanting to implement the program more in a sense of a peer mediation space, because there isn't really an age limit on your abstracted thought with mental illness. Maybe once you start to get older and you start to realize the world around you, but maybe even a young kid that's his parents got divorced, for example, and might feel isolated at school. You know, well, we can start expanding into the schools later on, and it's a great platform to realize, you know, there's benefits outside of just the college space, military, government, younger school, elementary, middle school. There's so many facets of life that we could be applied to. And the great thing about what we can offer is that in order to have mental illness, you need a brain. So everyone on the planet really has that source of brain. So we want to be able to extend an arm to everyone, not just a particular group of people.
I think that's fantastic. That's absolutely amazing. And, I want to thank you guys for that personally. I mean, we're not done here, but I want to thank you guys for
yeah, absolutely.
That. You know?
I
think it's incredible. Like I said, when I first saw the platform, you guys just happened to cross my feed one day and kind of caught my eye and read about it and just very excited and almost like a sense of relief because someone's finally like doing it, you know, someone's finally doing this. And I think it's pretty interesting that it hasn't been done. And maybe it has, maybe I don't know, but I haven't seen it on this level. Or I think technology is we're at an amazing time where everybody's pretty connected. And I think that this is perfect for you guys. And I thank you guys for doing that.
Thank you. So I could talk a little bit more about like what has been done. So there's some apps on the market right now. They're called like Better States and Talkspace. They both are virtual therapy apps, but so that, you know, it's like an actual like HIPAA guided, you know, application where you can, right. So it's just, it's like, you know, actually being a patient talking to a real therapist. And like that app, like alone, goes up to about $1,000 a year. That's insane. You're paying $1,000 a year. That's a lot of money. Like, but like, yeah, I'm sure you're getting, you know, like a therapist, but that is not what we're going for. Going back to what we said, you know, a therapist, you know, is providing unbiased feedback, but you know, it's not really that experience based, you know, experience where we're doing. So, you know, this is a very, very unique thing that we're doing. And, you know, everybody has been feeling very connected. Andrew, I want to ask you this question. What do you feel? Do you feel you have a stronger interest with being a supporter or a seeker, or would you say both? What would you say?
You know, Max, I think I'm more in your camp. I think I would be both. I've done the seeker role several times. You know, you know, just in my life in general, with lots of people. But I've also done the supporter role. And me and you talked about this a little bit. I had a website called Saneside Out, where I had allowed individuals to reach out to myself, and we talked and shared experiences and things like that. You know, not on the same scale, obviously, but a little bit of a support role.
Right.
But absolutely, yeah, I would see myself as both.
Yeah.
But I think there's huge benefits to that in a lot of ways, because it's not always perfect, you know, for any of us. And I think that you can learn a lot going through those experiences, and you can learn a lot helping other people. Maybe things you didn't realize that helped, or, you know, you gain a lot of tools that way. So I can really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, and maybe you guys haven't had any, but as far as roadblocks, what have you guys run into, you know, that's or a hurdle that you guys have had to get over here trying to get this off the ground?
Yeah, definitely. So the story of Squish started with just John and I. It was dubbed Teen Buddy. And right in the beginning, we actually started coding it out ourselves. And we felt that this is like, we're creating a huge foundation of a framework of a project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a huge application that we're creating. It's huge software. And I was like, John, I looked John and Danny eyes. I was like, John, here's going to be our biggest challenge. Step number one, development, developers, finding developers. And John was like, you're on, game on. So what we did was we did some research. We, you know, we posted Reddit, Facebook. We were asking friends and family initially. We got some feedback. And, you know, we were talking with some friends, but like their experience didn't really align with the eyes. So we ended up, you know, broadening the horizons, and we definitely ended up finding the right people. We ended up growing and fostering that. And we ended up getting the developers. You know, it was just insane. So that was definitely a challenge.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a little bit more of the other way around of me telling Max, but I think the best part was trying to find the culture, because we thought we want to do this app where we can connect patients and therapists, but that was already being done.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, you know, what can we do to stand out and be new? What is something that we can innovate? And we thought, okay, let's go peer mediation. That's a program that's already involved in schools. And, you know, we started to make more and more progress, but then we thought, well, what about just friends? And, you know, people talk to each other about their daily problems day in and day out. And, you know, they don't have to be therapists to do that. You know, we're extending the arm of finding individuals that collaborate well together based on the situations that they're experiencing and connecting them together. So it's really taking the facet of everyday people to be this extended arm for each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What was that aha moment like for you guys when you guys were, you know, just talking, trying to come up with something, and then, you know, what was that like?
So it was funny. We were in Cincinnati. I think I came out to Cincinnati to see Max, and we were playing Mario Kart 8, And we were just like, we were thinking, you know, it's got to be something new. And I was like, it's got to be the culture. It's got to be the driving culture. That's what makes companies great, but it also makes what they're able to do more fascinating. And Henry Ford once said, companies that only make profit are poor companies. And we weren't ever thinking about that, because we wanted to do something right. And we wanted to do something just that was going to work, that was going to pick up, and that was going to help and make an impact. And that's all driven by the culture side. And we just came together, and I was standing up there, and I stood up, and I was like, it needs to be the culture. We need a name for these people that isn't patients, that isn't therapists. So what can we do that's new? And that's when we started cracking heads, and we were up all night long, and we thought it's going to be these seekers and supporters, individuals with no hierarchical naming, no one above the other, no negative connotations, nothing where we have a sense of space that's already known, where we have a predetermined idea of who stands where when coming into the relationship of mental health. So it was, that was probably a really funny moment. I'd say that aha moment.
Oh, I love that. Now, where did the name Squish come from? I would love to know where Squish support came
from. Yeah, definitely. So I had a good friend, and she embodied this warmth, this good, deep emotional feeling. And like one day I just said to her, you know, I just called her like a swish. She made me feel very whole inside, and just the name Squish stuck with her. So it was a nickname for a little bit. And like John and I were thinking of, you know, names and stuff, and like that name ended up coming up, and John loved it, and that's where that came from. And we went with that just because it just embodies like this heartwarming feeling.
Oh, that's really nice. I like that. I was expecting this like elaborate, you know, well, one day we were, and it was, that's beautiful. I love it. Well, thank you to her for that name, because it really sticks with you. Like, it sticks in your head. It's rolls off the tongue. So good on you guys. Through this app, have you guys found, as far as men versus women, do you guys have a big variance in that, or is it pretty equal?
It's pretty, I would say it's more guided towards women's usage, because I think it comes with a lot of societal norms where men are supposed to be tough, strong, keep it in, you know, not show that side, where we are assuming that that's a weakness. And we've had different, now I shouldn't say that no men are reaching out to us, but we see a lot more volume of women talking about body dysmorphia, really coming forward and saying, I need help with this. How can you offer an extending arm? And I think that comes from the societal norms that we've really constructed, is that men are supposed to be tough. Men are supposed to be X, Y, and Z and not cry. And, or even going along this lines of big girls don't cry. So we are seeing more women, and that also comes in even each individual sector of mental health as a whole. There are different departments which have more women than men. For example, body dysmorphia, emotional dependencies. And then on the flip side, where we're trying to overview PTSD, we see a lot more men prevalence. So it really depends on the mental experience as a whole. But overall, we are seeing heavily more women on the platform.
Now, you said, Max, you said that you and John really helped each other get through like difficult times and stuff. And you kind of found that it was that connection, and you found where you belonged. How did you... Now I lost my train of thought. But the thing I was trying to get at was, how did you guys help each other out in that way? And also, did you guys kind of run into that yourselves? You spoke, John, a little bit about the stigma, and men aren't supposed to cry, men aren't supposed to feel, men aren't supposed to talk about their feelings. You know, we're supposed to man up. And did you guys both run into that a lot in your lives and kind of connected to each other through that and found somewhere you could share? Or, you know, like, how did you guys... help each other? Like, how'd you guys?
Yeah, it's fostering a good environment. So one thing where the big push is that when you feel comfortable and you're in a safe environment and you feel that you are really in that safe place, you can be and expose the things that you want to say. So when Max and I came together, it was a very secluded atmosphere. There was no one else around. We talked on the phone for hours. We were in his apartment. No one else was there. And you can start to share the things that you value most and the troubles you're having and the problems you're experiencing to gain insight, because you have that clouded thought when you are experiencing dark times or even a mental illness. And so when you're in that more comfortable space and that atmosphere, you're allowed to share things where you overcome those situations.
So dealing with mental illness, this question is for both of you guys, but what have you guys learned about yourselves and what kind of tools or coping mechanisms have you guys developed over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. So things that I started to discover about myself is just one where a lot of problems started to initiate. One where I had more issues were around feeling like I was sufficient enough to the people around me and really starting to identify, like, where did that root cause take effect? And that was something where being able to share it over time and understand that a lot of the confidence of what I do day in and day out shouldn't be perceived by other individuals, but how I value myself. Coping mechanisms came in as, one, I always thought, for example, I would be too skinny or overweight or body dysmorphia as a whole, for an example, and I would begin lifting weights because I wanted to better myself. But eventually, over time, my weightlifting, my athleticism, or whatever, getting out to do any fitness activity actually became a meditation. So the fact of what my coping mechanism used to be in order to get away from the anxiety and the stress of being able to fit into society actually now became a meditative technique. So watching that grow and change over time was a fascinating experience for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mine was along the line of time management. So my coping mechanism with that was just constantly like keeping like a notebook with me, like calendar. And I would always write in, you know, make a plan book and just plan ahead for all the tasks I would be doing throughout the day. And that would just help maximize my productivity throughout the day, making sure I'm staying in task with what I'm doing, making sure I'm getting all my stuff done. So that was definitely like, you know, my coping mechanism definitely matched with my time management, because that has definitely been a hurdle with me for a while now.
Now, what would you guys say to people that are kind of perpetuating that stigma of, you know, mental illness is something we shouldn't talk about, or, you know, maybe even to those people who say, you know, think positive and it'll go away, or think positive and you'll think happy thoughts and you'll be happy, you know, along that line. So what would you say to those people?
Yeah. So my big belief is that I never, from my personal perspective, is that you should never really say or tell anyone to be a certain way. Oh, try to smile more, try to be happy, try to do this, try telling them how to act a certain way, rather than being more comfortable and saying, hey, I see things are going on. If you ever want to talk, the door's open, you know? So offering that comfortability, but without ever pressing any issues or telling them what to do or making demands. So less of really objectifying and telling them what to do, but saying, we're here, we're open, we are Squish. If you want to try and talk about or share your experience or help other individuals, we're here to help you. We're not going to press you to do anything, and we understand that there's time, but we offer happiness, positivity, and optimistic atmosphere where we're trying to really gauge and understand what your current situation is and how we can get over that hurdle together.
Mm-hmm. Right, John. And, you know, we're that open door, like John exactly said, and we're fostering that relationship. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is a means to help you, you know, help you out, you know, if you're struggling, you know, we just want to lend an ear to you. Just to provide that comfort, that support.
So through this platform, are you guys looking to create any partnerships? Are there any companies that you guys are excited to try to reach out to? Like the Suicide Hotline, for instance, is a good resource. And are you guys operating as a 501c, or how are you guys going about, you know, crowdfunding and things like that?
Yeah, so right now we're solely founder backed and we're financing ourselves through it, which is fantastic.
Wow, amazing,
to say that we're full, that we're fully self-owned ourselves. As for partnerships, anywhere that we can reach it, you know, like we talked about, anyone that has a brain can experience mental illness. So we want to hit all facets of it, whether it's business, whether it's government, military, Suicide Hotline, for example, anyone that really is starting to identify issues in place, we want to be able to extend out and say, hey, we can try to put a program together for you and really overcome the situations at hand so far.
So you guys want to branch out?
Sorry, go ahead. No, I just wanted to add, as for the corporate type, we are an LLC. That was the only additional point that I had. I thought I was missing something.
No, you guys are completely fine. I think that's amazing that you guys are completely founder-backed. That's incredible and, like, not easy to do, not easy to have a life that way. I imagine this has consumed quite a bit of it. How do you guys find time to kind of, like, decompress and, you know, find time for yourselves?
Yeah, I work full time. I do this on the side.
Wow, okay.
I have a long distance relationship, but really what I just need to be able to just take a breath is just getting an hour each day or 30 minutes each day to just meditate and have a space, whether it's fitness or cooking or cleaning, and just finding time to be with yourself, to really consume the thoughts that you're having and understand how you can either fix what's going on or just take a breath overall. A hot shower, just taking time to yourself, is something that I've really learned over time is most valuable, and shutting out the world around you to just breathe and understand that I just worked an 8-hour day. Now I'm about to work on Squish for another several hours with Max on a phone. And so I just need time to switch between the two and have that transition where I can just decompress in a way where I have that self meditation.
And I'm a full-time student. So just balancing that along with, Squish is in itself a struggle, and you know, self-care is very important to me. So just I try to work out, or, you know, just my means of just relaxing is just shutting off all technology and just taking like a 30-minute break to an hour and just really just going out for like a walk or just collecting my thoughts in a book. That's usually like how I just like let loose.
I think that's great advice for everybody, really. 30 minutes, take some time to yourselves. I hope people really, really take that to heart. It's so, so important. I think people forget about self-care, and it's hard for a lot of us anyway. Self-care is really hard for some people, and, you know, some people might feel guilty even. So you deserve it, you know? People that work, people that are constantly busy forget themselves all the time. So, will you guys be offering any kind of like training, or is it just going to be strictly open platform? I guess this would be more towards the support side specifically.
Yeah. So we want to be able to mitigate what can and cannot be said. So for example, one thing that you mentioned was the suicide hotline. There are some things that if they happen in a session, we should be able to report them or even report in a way the situation that happened. Hey, you know, this individual is likely causing harm in a way either to themselves or other individuals. And, you know, that's something where we have to follow regulations in a way. So we have to be able to reciprocate that to our supporters to say, hey, if X, Y, Z happened within a session, you have to let us know, or recommend them to a therapist in a nearby region if it goes over a bound what they can say. But really what we're going to do in order to approach that is, rather than giving them a book to read, is put together two-dimensional motion graphic videos where they can just watch these several minute videos where the mind stays most awake at most 7 minutes. So having no video surpass 7 minutes, make them undergo a little bit of a program before they can actually be a certified Squish supporter.
So the research to even begin this must have been insane. What kind of resources, like, did you guys use, or is this all just completely built by you? I mean, I know the platform obviously is, but sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I know the platform is obviously built by you guys, but there had to be some, you know, statistics or something that you guys looked at to.
Yeah. And it started with just the understanding of mental health as a whole, that when you first come and start to generate innovation and an idea, you identify where there's something that's lacking. And having that intimate relationship with mental health itself, I realized that there wasn't a solution in place really for me. So that's when the question started asking, well, how many people actually experience mental health a year? Which demographics is it most prevalent in? Who are the groups that are more susceptible to harming themselves within suicide or resorting to gateway drugs, for example? And then just asking all the questions that encompassed mental illness and mental health as a whole, and really drilling down all the numbers to really find that it's a lot wider spread of an idea than I thought it to be, because I found myself to be more isolated and I didn't ask the questions as much of who else around me had a brown paper bag on their head and drew a smiley face on it, for example, as an analogy, that we don't really talk about the situation, so we have no idea. That's why we feel isolated. And that's when the questions start to come around that, you know, these are the numbers that are reported and they're already so high. Think of the people that overgo the survey and still could add to these numbers to be a lot higher. You know, 1 in 5 adults can experience mental illness at any time, but it's most prevalent in kids that are going off to college and becoming those young adults. So it was a comprehensive market research that I put together to understand what was really going on and around the world around us and how we could attack it in the right ways, and finding that open conversation and diminishing the stigma as a whole are the best ways of really overcoming mental illness as a whole.
How much closer do you think we are to, I mean, I've seen some progress over the last, I would say, like 3 years or so, maybe even 4, but it still seems like we're hitting that wall. You know, once there are celebrities talking about it and there are athletes and, you know, people are on TV talking about it, but it seems like it's kind of just an interview. They talk about it, it's over with, it's something they live with, and it never really gets discussed in depth. It never really, they don't share their specific experiences, which I think, you know, through your platform, like that's the most helpful thing, is to hear that somebody else has gone through this specific thing or had these specific thoughts that you have. How much closer do you guys really think we are?
Yeah, it's a lot. And I think one thing that is that things always get better over time. Cars are a lot faster. Houses are more insulated. We're getting into solar energy, and there's always going to be progress to understand a new way to attack an industry or a new product as a whole. This is going to be something where we're going to be on the forefront of opening up that conversation. And, you know, over time, it's going to be, you can only imagine how much further it could go. We started generating ideas for individuals who might have anxiety or PTSD and, you know, starting to implement augmented reality to try and go through those scenarios again so they can overcome those fears in a way. And that's only a limited idea, which is still on the frontier of developing technology. But there's always going to be progress. I think what Squish is going to be able to provide, and I know it more than think, is a gateway to have faster and better progress from a variety of individuals in their background.
And Max, I wanted to give you a chance there. I heard that you had something to say as well. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. Squish is definitely a huge gateway, like John said. Very, very, very forthcoming. And you know, a lot of people they sweep mental health under the rug. Like, in it's you know, it's right around the corner. You know, this, you know, Squish. You know, Squish is that action, that vehicle, that is that driving force to actually provide change. People have communities, they built, you know, all these platforms spreading awareness, but there's no, like, physical, like, vehicle, tangible, you know, thing that's providing that action. And Squish comes into play with that action. So this vehicle is coming right around the corner, and like John said, with the AR, the VR, we're providing virtual reality content to overcome those fears. And you can actually put on like these goggles and you can, you know, overcome your fears. Let's say you're afraid of whale sharks swimming out in the ocean. You put on these goggles and you can actually like be in a simulation out in the ocean, overcoming your fear of that. And, you know, it'll help you. Like, that's just like one of the many ways Squish plans to deliver that experience of mental health.
Well, I'm absolutely excited and very hopeful. I think you guys are definitely going to make an impact and definitely erase a lot of that stigma. And I really, you know, I don't know. I'm just excited. Like I said, I was excited when I saw the platform. I was excited to talk to you guys. I was excited when we, you know, first spoke on DM. And you guys can definitely count on my support. And hopefully we can find a way to help each other. You know, I'm absolutely more than willing to provide what I can to you guys. But that does bring a couple of other interesting questions. So I'll ask this, and this is kind of through my own experience. Like I said, I had that site where I spoke to people, and still do here and there, but, I did find for myself dealing with mental illness that I did get burnt out after a while, as you know, providing that support or that counseling, whatever you want to call it, to a peer. I found that I would get burnt out after, I don't know, say a few weeks, and I would start to feel anxious myself, or it would, you know, trigger me, for lack of a better word. And how are you guys going to try to mitigate that burnout or that, I don't know, like those mental triggers? How are you going to keep your supporters from hitting that point? Or is that something you guys have even run across?
Yeah, so the supporters are going to be hopefully individuals that have experienced something in the past and, mm-hmm. you know, really are offering the insights where they've overcome mental illness as a whole. If not, one big phrase is you become a great student. You start to learn a lot more when you start teaching. Mm-hmm. So I think being able to provide those insights to individuals day in, day out, it's going to be a self-gratifying program in itself. Now, on the flip side for the seekers, in a way, is that we hope to keep them around and be able to say, hey, we want to be extending that arm and helping you out. And by doing so, we want to switch up the atmosphere and give them a variety of options. If we aren't working out the best, that's okay. We'll still offer different opportunities to talk with therapists in your local area, communicate with an AI bot that allows to update you each day, day in and day out, understanding, how do you feel? Can we offer more support your way? If you're doing fine, then that's great. That's the overall goal of the app. You know, it's funny in itself that the goal of the app is to really not have the app at all, you know? So that's the way that we want to try and keep interest among the seekers and supporters.
I think that's excellent. I like what you said there, you know, about helping. I think that that's a huge thing that does, go a long way in elevating mood and elevating, you know, people with depression and things like that. Helping others is huge. It gives purpose. I know I told you guys I'd only keep you for an hour. We're about to come up on that hour here. So I kind of want to leave you guys with this last question here. What advice would you guys have for people that are at that apprehensive stage? You know, they're scared to reach out, or they haven't reached out, or maybe they're right there on the cusp. Obviously you guys have this anonymous platform, coming out next month, but how would you encourage them to reach out?
Yeah. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist in a way at all, mm-hmm. but I had this friend who actually after college went out to the Western United States and decided to backpack and live with different individuals and ask for homes and such. And my parents asked him, you know, how do you think you could do this? You know, aren't you afraid of being kidnapped or killed? And his response was, I think people are a lot nicer than we really make them out to be. And the conspiracy side is, I think media, what we're really interested day in and day out is really the negativity. But overall, those are going to be more of the outliers compared to people overall who are really looking to help. So my recommendation is don't be afraid to ask someone if you can talk to them. There's going to be ears all over willing to listen, willing to give advice. And though you might not find the right person once, don't give up. Because I think your odds of finding someone that's willing to listen and willing to help are very high. And people are a lot nicer than the media or friends and family may make them out to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe that as well. I think there's a lot more good than bad.
And my advice is to say yes. That friend that has been reaching out to you, inviting you to do things, you know, and you know, you push it off. I would say yes to that, you know, try to go out and, you know, it may be hard, but just any little effort counts, you know, maybe make your bed, you know, just try to change one thing that you do in your normal daily routine. Because the definition of insanity, as Albert Einstein says, is doing the same thing every single day and expecting different results. So just trying to change things up a little bit in your routine. Maybe like, yeah, make your bed, or I don't know, like buy
shave your face. Yeah,
exactly. So just do something that, you know, that might cause a butterfly effect, and you know, soon you might be doing something else. Like my sophomore year of college, I tried to go vegan for a bit. So I told myself, okay, I'm going to start off with replacing milk with soy milk. So I did that. I started with that. I was like, okay, I can handle it. Try replacing chicken with tofu. So I did that. Just start with baby steps, you know. And I did that over a period of 2 months. It was very hard for me, but, you know, it was just the small things. Don't onboard yourself with a lot of things. Like, okay, I'm going to become vegan. I'm expecting those results to happen immediately. That's not going to happen, right? Nothing happens overnight. You know, you just have to take things as they come. You know, just be very slow and, you know, plan accordingly. You know, just small things, like shave your face.
Yeah, I think, yeah, just reinventing yourself in a way. Like, I think that's a great, easy one. You know, assuming people are nice is easy. Or it's more difficult than, you know, try to shave your face a day, clean up, you know, maybe drink something different, maybe get off soda, whatever it is. Try to reinvent yourself away, and don't do it all at once, because Andrew, you said this, like, you will burn out and you won't want to do it again. And I think Matt adds a great point that just trying something new about yourself to try to change up your daily routine, even if it's the smallest thing, you know, it could really make an impact.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. Now, you guys launch next month. Do you guys have a specific launch date or a week, something that people can look out for?
Max, this is your sell point. You got this.
Yeah, so definitely. So you can look up on our Instagram at Swish Support. That's where you can follow our handle. We'll be posting updates. At the moment, we're looking towards the second to third week of January to have a product in the hands, and that is a beta application. So that, you know, if you register at squishsupport.com to be a secret supporter, we will reach back out to you with our product, saying, you know, you have to download this link, and then you'll be able to actually use it.
That's perfect.
So that is you'll have early access to our application. You'll be one of the first people. So if you want to, you know, get access to that, I definitely recommend following us on Squish Support on Instagram. And that's where we'll be posting all those updates.
That's perfect. And I've really enjoyed your guys' feed. It's been pretty helpful. So I appreciate that. And I'll make sure to put all these links in the description. And I will make sure to keep everybody updated on the beta app. And I hope, you know, make sure everybody goes to squishsupport.com to sign up. It's an amazing platform. I'm very, very excited about it. And I really just want to thank you two for being on and for doing this for everybody. I mean, you guys are doing a great service. So thank you guys very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrew.
Yeah, we appreciate your time, Andrew. Thank you.
And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.